Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this blessed Sabbath, April 28, 2018. This is our review, dear ones, of lesson 252. This is our part two review for chapter 53, The Last Journey from Galilee, part 6. Our theme song for this series is entitled Savior Teach Me Day by Day. And if anyone of the dear family would like to join in the hymn, you can bubble up, dear ones. Savior, teach me day by day, love's sweet lesson to obey. Sweeter lesson cannot be, loving him who first loved me. With a shy glass heart of love, at thy bidding may I move, prompt to serve and follow thee, loving him who first loved me. Teach me I am not my own, I am thine and thine alone. Thine to keep, to rule, to save from all sin that would enslave. Love in loving finds employ, in obedient all her joy. Ever knew that joy will be loving him who first loved me. Teach me thus thy steps to trace, strong to follow in thy grace, learning how to love from thee, loving him who first loved me. Loving him who first loved me.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for letting us be able to have this blessed day. We thank you for letting us be able to wake us up this morning. We thank you for letting us be able to have another blessed day. Forgive us all for our sins, our iniquities, now Christ our spirits. Forgive us if we've done anything wrong in your sight with thy name. I pray that you may be with us wherever we may go. Let us be able to also be kind and noble to one another. Let us be strong and be brave. Let us be able to also be kind to one another. Let us be able to also keep on showing mercy and compassion into any of our brethren, no matter what troubles they may face. Let us be able to also be protected. Let us be able to be comforted if there are any troubles that we are having a tough time getting out of. Let us be able to also have safe trial mercies if there are other places that we need to be. Let us be able to also keep on obeying thee and obeying every command. Also, to have honest friend, honest have friendship to have honesty and be in all those that we care about. Be with us really happy at another blessed study on this blessed day. And we love you, Lord God, and for us being in the land you promised us. This is my prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I have noticed that the system kind of changed the slide. So if there's anything out of line, it's something that I could not control. So dear ones, the opening scripture is taken from Psalms 100 verse 2 through 4 from the King James Version. And it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into the court with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So, dear ones, what have I learned and ways we have grown this week? So, before we learn our, before we hear your questions, dear one, let's take a few minutes to review what you have read last Sabbath from part one of our lesson entitled The Last Journey from Galilee, part six, in our study book, The Sigh of Ages. If any one of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph, go below.
The Sigh of Ages, page 194. The only way in which we can gain a more perfect apprehension of truth is by keeping the heart tender and subdued by the Spirit of Christ. The soul must be cleansed from vanity and pride and vacated of all that is held in its possession, and Christ must be enthroned within. Human science is too limited to comprehend the atonement. And on the top slide it says, in John 18:37 margin, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice of wisdom from above. And the middle side, it tells, one side says pride, and the other side is vanity. And on the heart of that, for this young man, he says, Christ in me. And the bottom says, human sciences. Next slide, please. Continuing. The plan of redemption is so far-reaching that philosophy cannot explain it. It will ever remain a mystery that the most profound reasoning cannot fathom. The science of salvation cannot be explained, but it can be known by experience. Only he who sees his own sinfulness can discern the preciousness of the Savior. Desire is page 194, paragraph 4. And on the top slide, it says, the plan of redemption, God's plan of salvation, and philosophy cannot explain it, and philosophy can ruin your life. I have blot, and it says in Isaiah 44:22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I redeemed thee. The science of salvation cannot be explained, but it can be known by experience. Desire of Ages, page 195.
Desire of Ages 495. Full of instructions were the lessons which Christ taught as he slowly made his way from Galilee toward Jerusalem. Eagerly the people listened to his words. And Pyrrha and as in Galilee, the people were less under the control of Jewish bigotry than Judah, and he and his teaching found a response in their hearts. During these last months of his ministry, many of Christ's parables were spoken. The priests and rabbis pursued him with ever-increasing bitterness, and his warnings to them he veiled in symbols, or veiled in symbols. They could not mistake his meaning, yet they could find in his words nothing on which to ground an accusation against him. In the parable of the Pharisees and publicans, the self-sufficient prayer, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, stood out in sharp contrast to the penitent's plea, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Luke chapter 18, verse 11 and 13.
Sabbath blessing to all. I see. I'm glad to see you. Sabbath blessing, dear Dad. Okay. The Savage is 495. Does Christ rebuke the hypocrisy of the Jews and under the figures of the buried fig tree and the great supper he foretold the doom about to fall upon the impenitent nation? Those who had scornfully rejected the invitation to the gospel feast heard his warning words. I say unto you that none of those men which were hidden shall taste of my supper. Luke 14:24. Isaiah 4:95, paragraph 2. And then next to the slide is a great feast, Luke 14:15-24. And then Josh is going to read the little print.
Revelation 19:17 says, as all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God.
Amen.
Desire of Ages, page 495. Very precious was the instruction given to the disciples. The parable of the importunate widow and the friend asking for bread at midnight gave new force to his words. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Luke 11:9. And often their wavering faith was strengthened by the memory that Christ had said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, do justice for his elect, which cried day and night unto, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Luke 18:7-8. Desire of Ages, page 495, paragraph 3.
Continuing, Desire of Ages, page 495. The beautiful parable of the lost sheep Christ repeated, and he carried its lesson still farther, as he told of the lost piece of silver and the prodigal son. The force of these lessons the disciples could not then fully appreciate, but after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as they saw the ingathering of the Gentiles and the envious anger of the Jews, they better understood the lesson of the prodigal son and could enter into the joy of Christ's words. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Luke 15:32-24. And as they went out in their master's name, facing reproach and poverty and persecution, they often strengthened their hearts by repeating his injunction, spoken on his last journey. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen.
Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is Luke 12:32-34, and it says on the side, sell all that ye have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. That's Mark 10:21. And it also says, Luke 12:32-34, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our opening verse for our review this Sabbath is taken from 1 Peter 3:15 on the King James Version. This is to be able to help all of us to keep in mind that we are going to be able to try to help the little ones. So everyone, remember that the scripture that says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. So dear ones, this is the moment that we will give our little ones, mommies and daddies, so even our guests, what have I learned and ways I have grown with our last lesson or even in the week, or if there's anything that you would like to ask, feel free, dear ones, and bubble up.
Well, my friend tried to kill herself and I helped her, and so she said she won't try to kill herself again.
That is wonderful, dear sis. Praise the Lord and continue on by actually being there for her and introduce her to the God that she may not know, you take your time and ask the Lord to put the words in your mouth that you can be able to introduce her to the God that loves her more than life. Okay? Praise the Lord.
I have a question. My question is, how could we teach hope, grace, and mercy to a hopeless generation? It's a very broad question. If you cannot answer it now, you know, we could answer little by little.
Well, that's indeed a broad question, but a good one. And the first answer that came to mind was by our example. If we are living faith, hope, encouragement to others, then that is one way, person by person, of reaching out to a broader audience. So example goes a lot farther than just words. Any other thoughts, ideas?
I have just one question. So did the book actually mean there's no way, no book, no philosophy of any kind can tell the future?
I would say that's true. The only reliable book that has never erred in a single prophecy, a single prediction of the future, is the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. All the other so-called mystics and clerics and spiritualistic mediums may be able to get some things correct, but not all things. And the Bible talks about that if the word of the prophet does not come to pass, then that prophet is not from the Lord. It's a false prophet. So even Gene Dixon, one of the very well-celebrated mystics back in the 80s, only was about 80% correct in her general predictions. That meant she was 20% wrong, which meant she was not a true prophet, but a false prophet. So really the only safe, correct indicator of future events is God's inspired word.
Amen. And to piggyback on what Elder Rob said, we also have to remember that a lot of philosophy is still taking man's wisdom, and man's wisdom is limited. The only one that can give us true prophecy or even anything to do with the events in the future is the one that created all things and the all-knowing God. So they don't have nothing new. Usually they take the same thing that has been said over, try to be able to make it more attractive, but nothing is new under the sun. The word of God, it is all in all. It has the beginning, it has the present, and also the future. And truth is the only place you can be able to find in the living word. So I just wanted to share that also.
Sad up lessons, everyone. I know that this isn't really going according to the lesson, but we were told we could just ask a question. Just to piggyback a bit further off the question that dear brother Josh asked, how do we, I know we read the King James Version, right, of the Bible, and it's always so, like, controversial that people are always saying, well, why do you read the King James Version as opposed to the New Translated Version or some other versions that are out there? And then you get into the whole debate of, you know, well, the King James Version is more supported or whatever is told. But how do you explain to people why, as Christians or as Sabbath keepers, we take the King James Version over any other version of the Bible?
If I may, and anyone can correct me if I'm wrong, but in the other versions, there are many instances where the way that they refer to God it's not as much in reference, in a respectful reference. They kind of lessen the power of God in a lot of things that they say in the other translations. And also, they take a lot of stuff out and then they put other stuff in, which in, at the end of the I think it is at the end of the book of Revelation, should anyone take anything out or put anything in, it's going against what the word has said. I know that, but maybe someone can go more in depth.
I just want to continue with you, Karina, is that right now they want to unify all religion. So instead of this, they will say, like example, the only begotten son, okay? When you say the only begotten son, meaning there's no other begotten son in the world. There's no other person with that title. So what they do, they take out the begotten and they put the son. The son is referred to anyone. So what it's trying to do is unify all religion into one. That understanding I know about the different Bible. It's like they don't want to be able to offend anyone. They just want to be able to put one religion.
I just want to be able to just add what I have learned in my personal study. I realized that every time when we want to find out the truth about something, we have to go to the origin of where it has from, the reason why all the individuals had actually come about changing these words. And there were actually 6 points of attack. The reason why we take the King James Bible as being the reference for us to be able to share the truth is because the purpose of sharing the gospel is to share Christ. So if we find where the scripture is telling us that in the word of God is where he is, which he come in the volume of the book, all the other translation, the NIV, the NASB, the NKJV, the NAB, all the REB, all the other new translation, they have taken an attack of direct concerning the truth by 6 different points. The divinity of Christ, the virgin birth of Christ, the infallibility of the Holy Bible, the doctrine of salvation by faith, the Godhead individuality, and the sanctuary message. When you remove all of the principle of the foundation of the landmark of the Bible, the only way that I have seen how it will not go towards in a debate, a lot of them in their heart really believe that they're doing the Christian duty. So if you take any one of these points and you ask the individual, do you believe that Jesus came in the volume of the book that is written of him? If you take any one of those points and ask them to find it in those new translations, you will find them either omitted, altered, changed, where these very important principle that is supposed to be part of the present truth that we have to be able to spread and to try to bring them to a knowledge of who is God and the Godhead point of they being individual, not a Trinity. All of these things that we stand as fundamental truth, you're not going to find it in the new translated version. It will be either taken away or omitted. So anytime when they have any kind of debate, don't look upon what it is that is being said. Take the moment and jot up a prayer before the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that could search the heart and will tell you where exactly the person is coming from. I just wanted to be able to share that.
Another point that has helped me in this particular area is when you look up how the King James Version came about and how King James arranged for various committees of men in different parts of the realm to focus on a particular portion of translation of the scriptures. And when they were done with their particular portion, they then gave it to the next committee. And the committee that had done their portions gave it to other committees. And I think this went on for six different rounds. So you had any portion of the scripture translated or corrected or revised in six different manners until the end product was the best possible translation for each verse of the Bible. But more than that, King James had said that if there is any translators that mistranslates the scripture in any verse from the original manuscripts, that it was a death sentence to that translator or that committee of men translating the Bible. So it was not just a group of men getting together and deciding their own agenda, like it is with all the newer versions of the Bible. There's no death sentence hanging over the heads of those that translated the Revised Standard Version or the New King James Version or any of the other versions. But there was for the King James Version. So that to me, with that check and balance system, shows that the King James is the best possible translation from the old manuscripts of the Greek and the Aramaic.
Well, dear ones, if there's any other questions, meanwhile, that you're trying to be able to put your thoughts together, I would like to ask any one of the little ones, mommies or daddy, or even our guests, if they have any scripture song or hymns that they would like to share with everyone for the edification of the Lord. Babala.
So I have a song that we used to sing in the cradle roll, but adults can sing it. It's perfectly right. It's a question that says, oh, who can make a rainbow? I'm sure I can't, can you? Oh, who can make a rainbow? No one but God, 'tis true. And you can put just about any word in there, flower. Oh, who can make a flower? I'm sure I can't, can you? Oh, who can make a flower? No one but God, 'tis true. It's just kind of a joyful little song.
Amen, dear sister. And as you were singing, what came up to my heart was, since we're talking about the King James and the importance of searching for ourselves the truth, the precious Bible is the garden of God, and His promises are the lily and the roses and the pink. The precious Bible is the garden of God, and His promises are the lilies and the roses and the pink.
Speaking about the Bible, I have this song on the subject. It doesn't justify any version, but it's about the Bible. It's called The Bible Stands. The Bible stands like a rock undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal and the glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands though the hills may tremble and it stand when the earth shall crumble. I will, the rest of it, it's a to be. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation. Anyway, I'll have to give up. I haven't sung that song for so long. I need my music and I'm not getting it here. Let's see.
We'll sing a Sabbath song. Far from all care, we hail the Sabbath morning. O'er waving field and from the distant sea, Swell notes of praise in harmony resounding, as all creation turns her heart to thee. Though man alone, Lord of thy great creation, fails now to laud thee for thy love and power, yet still a remnant love thee and remember thy holy law and each sweet Sabbath hour. Lord of the Sabbath, Savior and Creator, come now the throbbings of its troubled breast. Speak to our hearts the peace of thy commandments. Breathe on its soul, fair Eden's hallowed rest. Strong in thy might and quiet in thy meekness. May we then image bear from day to day. Then may we enter pearly gates eternal and sing redemption song its Sabbath day.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, dear ones, this is the section that we ask any one of the dear family if they have any testimony. Everyone has a story. Hear yours, dear ones. So this is the section for any testimony. Bubble up.
The reason why I asked that question, and it's such a broad question, and Elder Rob, you helped me that, you know, we have to live it. But sometimes you meet people that you never seen before. They never know your life. They don't know where you're from. But they hear the good tidings, and they want to know how do you get to the point that you know all these truths. And I could tell you a testimony. The Lord been working so much in the last 4 weeks that in my salon they had came in a pastor, a former Seventh-day Adventist, and a worldly Christian, and me. And we was talking, and it started up that, you know, he said that he was just ordained about 9 months ago, and he has a congregation. So the former Adventist say, do you know about the Sabbath? And he said, the Sabbath is Sunday. So she said, really, where in the scripture says that the Sabbath is Sunday? So I know that he go into this book, and I guess that is the doctrine of being a pastor, because everything that you ask him, he will go into this little book and he will read it. So I asked him, I said, well, David, because his name is David. Strange, his name is David. So I said, David, could you please go into, give me the, what Sabbath means? And he went into this little book and he says, Sabbath is a Jewish day that they take to worship, and it's worshiped on the seventh day. And Christian and Protestant worship Sunday, which is the first day. I look up to heaven and I said, wow. I said, okay, what do you understand with that? He said, but I'm not a Jew. I'm a Christian. So I said, okay, now we're going to divide the word of truth. Tell me what kind of Christian are you? The Bible Christian? Oh, that little book that you look in and, you know, he said, no, I'm ordained as a Protestant. So I said, well, let us go into Genesis. And we went into Genesis and he was convicted. We went into Genesis and he saw the truth. I went into the calendar and I told him, look at the calendar, because God is so marvelous on his work that the day of the week never changed. It started up Sunday and it ended in Saturday. And I looked in that, he looked in that, he was convicted also. And then he was telling me how could he do that. I said, well, I remember, I don't know if it's in Ezekiel or in Jeremiah, that a pastor has a responsibility for his congregation. He said, the Lord has damned them because they had take the sheep out of the way, you know, the congregation, they teaching them erroneous doctrine. So I didn't remember the scripture, but I told him I would come back to him and tell him where, I don't know if I read it in Ezekiel or in Jeremiah, but I told him that I would go back to him. But then he would tell me, he tell me, I don't know how to start that again. I said, well, if you sincere in what you know, please just go in and study for yourself, and the Lord will give you strength to be able to get to that that conclusion, whether to truth or whether, you know, whatever. And I was kind of saddened because I said, how do you teach somebody, that was my question, how do you teach somebody about grace, hope, and mercy? How? Because although they seen the scripture, they don't see the faith, the grace, the mercy, and the hope that God has given us. So I know that I said it so broadly, but I just wanted to be able to just summarize it somewhat. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you for sharing, dear sisters. We will be continuing praying for, I believe his name was David. And also, may the Lord give mercy upon him that he can be able to go and search for himself so they can be able to continue giving the gospel to the people according to what thus said the Lord and not according to the seminary that they learn their lessons from. Well, dear ones, this is the section that we also have for this children's story time. And we're going to pass the mic to our dear brother Dick, because he'll be the one to also narrate it.
Do you remember the name of our story last week? Labor results in health and happiness. Are you happy when you labor or work? God wants you to be happy while working. God gave us work as a blessing. And while I'm recapping not last week's story, if you have some questions, stick them in the room here, and I'll see if I can answer them. If I can't, I'll pass them to someone else. The Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. Deuteronomy 16:15. Another Bible version says, so be happy. Now that's what God wants us to do, is to be happy. The fulfillment of home duties, like cleaning your room, putting away your clothes, putting away your toys, emptying the garbage, etc. Filling the position you can occupy to the best advantage. You might be able to do this better than someone else. You know where your things belong. Be it ever so simple and humble, is truly elevating. It makes you more appreciated. Does it make you happy to help mama? Should. The Bible says we need to learn to work while we are young. The Bible calls it wear the yoke in your youth. And the yoke represented work or service. Never will children and youth feel the peace of contentment or be truly happy until by the faithful performance of home duties they relieve the tired hands and weary heart and brain of the mother. Children, do you understand that you will never be happy either if mama is always tired or sad? Well, help her so she won't be. Those who neglect to bear part of the responsibilities of the home are the ones who are troubled and with loneliness and discontent or unhappiness, for they have not learned the truth that those who are happy because they share the daily routine of work. That would be like sweeping the floors, carrying out the garbage, folding the clothes, putting away your toys. And there goes the phone. Elaine's going to get that. When God gave it to Adam and Eve, he gave them work to do, and they were happy. God appointed work as a blessing. The Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice or be happy. Deuteronomy 16:15. All right. Wait, let me go back and see if there's some questions here. Well, my computer screen doesn't show any questions. Is it anybody else's? We have to remember that as children, we must help mother with her duties. We must help around the home so that when we grow up and have homes of our own, if time should last that long, we'll know how to do it right and in turn teach our children the lessons that the children of today are learning. No further questions? I think we run over time, so I'll...
Thank you, dear brother. Dear ones, I just want you, the little ones, to be able to understand. We are looking forward for your questions. We learn from the questions that you do have because we are learners as well. I am as nervous as you are as well because we have to give the hope of our faith with fear and trembling. So, dear ones, we will be looking forward for your questions and also your cooperation as well, because we do get blessed and edified about what you hear, what you have learned as well. So next week, we will begin a new chapter of our lesson entitled The Good Samaritan in our study book, Desire of Eight. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddy, so even our guests would like to close with prayer, bubble up. If we can all bow our heads and our hearts and kneel if possible as we go boldly before the throne of grace. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before thee, Lord, to give you thanks and praises, we are so grateful that you are able to be with us, Father Jesus. In our midst, we pray that you may put your healing hands upon those that are sick, Father, those that are broken in heart. May you comfort, and also may you also rescue those that are lost, Father Jesus. I pray that you may be able to continue on having your hands outstretched still for your people and also for those that may not have no knowledge. Father, if we go about our daily lives in a week or even in any other day, we pray that you may give us the ability, Lord. Only you can be able to touch the heart of those wherever they might be. Help us to have the readiness to be a vehicle, Father, to reach as much people as possible. I pray, dear Lord, and give thanks for everything that you have done for us during the week. And also, dear Lord, giving thanks beforehand for that you will do for us in the future. Father, we pray that you may be able to help us to be prepared. And let us be minute men, Father Jesus, giving words in season and out of season. Help us also, dear Lord, to continue walking with thee every day. Bless the children and the household. Bless the little girl that our dear sister helped, that she may be able to think twice of taking her life. Father, may she be able to know the love that you have for her and how she doesn't know at this very moment what it is that you will do in the future with her life and her instrumentality. We pray, dear Lord, that may you continue rescuing as much as you can for the burning. Forgive us for our sins and iniquity and our transgression, Father Jesus, our Christ-like spirit. Our Father Jesus, please, thank you for being there for my dad, Father Jesus, and waking him up. Thank you for being with each and every one of us and also being with us in the next meeting and also in the sermon. May you keep our minds stayed on thee, glorifying your name for such privilege to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace and have communion with thee, Father Jesus, and hear the word of God and hear the life of Christ, that we may be able to meditate upon it, dear Lord. Thank you, and We love you, Father Jesus, in no other name but in your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We hope and pray you will bless dear ones, and may you have a blessed rest of the Sabbath.